This is my second lesson on the person of Matthias, who the disciples of Christ chose to replace Judas while they were in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture. In John chapter 6 and verse 7, Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And in John chapter 15 and verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, Dr. Luke writes these words, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Could it be that the apostles in the upper room that day undertook to do what Jesus had kept in his own power? Quoting David's prediction about another filling the place of Judas, they concluded that they should act upon the matter and appoint a successor. But there is no hint that they sought guidance from God before the choice of the two candidates who was presented. Evidently, they took it for granted that God would approve and only prayed when the decision of choice was necessary. They prayed that God would show which of the two that had been chosen. Does this not imply that having made their choice of Barnabas and Matthias, they were giving God the choice between the two without submitting to him the question whether anyone was to be appointed at that time or whether there were others whom he thought best? But then again, aren't we all guilty of the same fault? We go to him not before a course of action, but after we have decided upon it. We don't ask him what to do, but to bless what we are doing. We do not want him to take charge of the springs of action, but only to direct the results. The answer to their prayer as to which of the two should take the vacancy was to be decided by lot. While Barnabas and Matthias was the same level as far as qualification for apostleship was concerned, we wonder how far the 11 was guided more by their own preference than by the guiding they sought from the searcher of all hearts. The usual way of casting lots in such a case was to write each name on a tablet, place it in a container, and shake it until one came out, a practice that was recognized by the law in the 16th chapter of Leviticus. The lot fell upon Matthias, or his name fell out of the vessel first, and he was numbered among the 11 apostles. But was he God's choice as the last of the 12? I strongly discount the argument that the silence about Matthias' future proves that his election was hasty and premature on the part of Peter and the rest, because his work finds no record, and he has found no place on the master roll of fame. Silence in itself is no evidence that his election was unendorsed and unsanctioned by the Lord. History is silent on many of the apostles. After the roll call of the apostles before Pentecost, only a syllabus is written of more than half of them. Are we to conclude, therefore, that the wisdom of Jesus erred, that he selected the wrong men to be his witnesses? We have no doubt whatsoever that Peter acted in all good faith when he proposed that the gap in the ranks caused by the death of Judas should be closed. Although we have no further mention of either Matthias or Barnabas, both of them were faithful to the cause of Christ. All of these disciples had been chosen of the Lord when, as disciples of John the Baptist, came to be followers of Jesus, the Lamb of God. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.